The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to share the inheritance with me." He replied to him, "Friend, who appointed me as your judge and arbitrator?" Then he said to the crowd, Take care to guard against all greed, for though one may be rich, one's life does not consist of possessions. Then he told them a parable. There was a rich man whose land produced a bountiful harvest. He asked himself, "What shall I do? For I do not have space to store my harvest." And he said, "This is what I shall do. I shall tear down my barns and build larger ones. There I shall store all my grain and other goods, and I shall say to myself, 'Now, as for you, you have so many good things restored up for many years. Rest, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this night your life will be demanded of you, and the things you have prepared, to whom will they belong?' Thus will it be for all who store up treasure for themselves, but are not rich in what matters to God." The Gospel of the Lord. The period of time following the loss of my parents, as I have seen with many families in pastoral ministry, can be one of the most stressful times of their lives as they begin to go through all the possessions of their parents. My parents were Great Depression children, and as such, typically they saved everything. My dad had two barns, so gospel-like, right? He had two barns just full of junk that none of us knew what to do with after they were gone. I was lucky with my brothers because none of us had any particular plans for my parents' things. We didn't fight about any of it. If anything, there was just so much stuff that it was overwhelming. But I have seen some desperate, difficult situations go from bad to worse as families divide over things. Because of worldly possessions, brothers and sisters might not talk to each other for years. I also spent a lot of time thinking about the first reading today, this idea of examining the motive behind whatever it is we do. In the end, truly, anything we do for selfish motives is nothing more than vanity. All, really, is vanity. The only thing I can think of that is not vanity has to do with loving kindness, which includes aspects of selfless praise to God and selfless service to others. Having just come back from a week with Buddhists in Taiwan, I realize all of this starts to sound very Buddhist. The idea that our human weakness always desires things that do not help us, but rather harm us. This craving or grasping for possessions and things, as they call it, always leaves us feeling empty. But here now is the Christian and Buddhist solution to all of this. If you seek the path of self-emptying love, you will be filled with well-being and know the happiness of loving kindness. This is the example of the communal life of the Blessed Trinity made visible in the self-emptying love of Jesus, the Son of God. This is the contrast between seeking treasures for yourself versus what matters to God. St. Paul says, "Seek what is above, not what is on earth." Jesus' own words, "And the things you have prepared, to whom will they belong? Thus it will be for all who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich in what matters to God." So there is a type of wealth that Jesus wants us to seek, but it isn't kept in barns and storage units. The storage industry in the United States was worth $45 billion last year, expected to reach $50 billion in 2027. And I know I say this a lot in homilies, but I once had a priest professor in the seminary who once said, "You will never see a hearse going down the street with a U-Haul trailer on the back. They don't make hearses with trailer hitches." A couple of years ago, my brothers and I finally emptied a storage unit in Kansas City, holding all the stuff that was ours after my mom's death, at least everything we didn't feel like we could throw away. I wanted my nieces and nephews to want things that were special to my parents and grandparents. They mean something to my brothers and me, but seem to have no value to them. At the end of the day, what do I do with the china cabinet with three generations of china that we never used because we worried we might break it? I have a shelf full of my grandmother's Rose Depression glass collection still. I could consider, I guess, the possibility of sharing them. Things can be opportunities of loving kindness, and possessions can become charity. But it isn't that possessions themselves are bad unless they start to possess you. I have found that possessions lead to anxiety, to be honest, and feeling that I am tied down by all this stuff that ultimately somebody is not going to want anyway. St. Paul paints the pictures with stark words. He says, "You have died. Your life is hidden with Christ and now in God. Put to death the parts of you that are earthly." He speaks about a true spiritual asceticism, a purifying, a simplifying, a restoration of clarity. It seems we spend each of our waking hours focusing on how to avoid death. Isn't it true that living each moment is living the process of dying? But we don't want to think that way. What if we were to realize that we have already died? You see, Christianity has this upside-down perspective of life. If you're baptized, your lives on earth, we enter with Jesus into the 3 days of the tomb, awaiting resurrection. That moment of passing from this life to eternal life is the moment in which we are utterly free, fully alive in God, fully alive. Things are no longer so important. You have taken off the old self with its sinful practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the image of its creator. Now, this life on earth is a time of constant renewal as we come together to full stature, not as individuals, but as a community, the body of Christ, as the creation God intended, not according to our individual designs, which themselves are vanity, possessions, but in the mind and heart of God. Ultimately, Christ is all in all.